You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Well, we have our annual forecast model out, and this comes out every year, end of January, early February, and we're offering half off for that for our House Street listeners. That's 50% off. It's normally $900. It's only $450, and it covers all the major markets. And you see the results from the previous year and several years before that. And I know our model for the Dow worked out pretty well last year tracking, and the one for Bitcoin worked out pretty well tracking. So we follow several markets, you know, copper, silver, the dollar, lithium, uranium, and so forth. So it's a valuable tool. I've been publishing it, believe it or not, since 1987, and I did it back then on a lark. And it called the crash in October of 87, and that spoiled me a bit. So I kept doing it, and every year is not 100%, but we do track, as I say, about 10 different markets in the model, and you see them all in the report. So it's an exciting time of year. A lot of people are excited about it and have been asking me for it, and it just got published, you know, yesterday. So I would rush to get a copy, and it's one report that's good for the year, and you can just see what the model suggests is going to happen on a cyclical basis, a little sketch of where we think each of the markets are going to track. So that's all, available using the promo code 2022 half off when you go to the website, which is VRTrader.com.
And Mark, you've been remarkably accurate. I'm just looking at my notes here. You were one of the top all-time gold timers named in the last edition of the Timer Digest, number one ranked in percentage games from the Vancouver World Outlook Conference a few years back. So there's, like I said, a bit of a track record here on your eye on the future.
Right, and it's something that I'm very proud of. And, you know, we don't have crystal balls, but, you know, we do our best to forecast the markets. And a lot of other things we do, of course, are shorter term in our Leibovit VR newsletters with the code name VR Trader, where we do some, you know, shorter term trades as well, which is sort of my area of expertise coming from a trading background and so forth. But we also, when you come to the newsletters, you see names that we've been holding and doing well with. You know, a whole group has worked out for us, for example, the gold stocks and gold and silver. We've been in those, like the majority of the portfolio has been in gold, more than 50% of it, you know, in the last several months. We've just been holding it because I felt that, you know, we had a couple upside targets and we wanted to stick with them. So, but then again, there have been some nice trades along the way. You know, a few stocks that I'm really excited about. One just had a big move yesterday, Dutch Brothers Coffee, BROS. I've been a big favorite of that stock for several years since they went public, and it was up like 18 points yesterday, and it's been on and off in our newsletter as something to keep an eye on. Would sort of surprise people why a coffee company would be that excited about, but it's a it's growth situation, and I've seen a lot of their stores and the stock look good, the charts look good. So we pick some individual hot ideas too, like that, and happy about that, which is part of what we do in the newsletter. But anyway, if you sign up for the newsletter, you can still use that same promo code that I just mentioned, 2022 half off. But thank you for the recommendation and compliment, on the track record. Every year can't be 100%, but we've been doing this for a long time, and very proud of the fact since 1979 we've been in business.
Well, Mark, sure, it's not your record why we talk to you. It's your stellar, chiseled good looks.
Thank you so much for that one. In the picture on the website, maybe, not in person.
And so what would you, I know, just give us a little taste here. What's a little tease of, of what you think is the highlight and why people should take a look at your special annual forecast.
Well, a teaser would be, you know, looking at Dow Jones, for example. You know, it's a positive forecast for the year, but we have our little zigs and zags. And as I mentioned previously, you know, we're in the cyclical period now into the first quarter of the year. So we're seeing a lot of choppiness here. And we do have that cycle coming up in mid-March, which invariably is coincident with some type of trading low in the market. So, you know, I think that would be a decent bet here, even though we're seeing the market hold up pretty well here. We are seeing, you know, some stocks, you know, get slammed along the way, and it's really a mixed market. It's really a stock picker's market. So, but I think the indexes as a whole, you know, will trend higher during the year, and it's, you know, partially because of Donald Trump being in the White House, but it's also because we're going to see, I think, you know, ultimately, reduction of inflation, it's not there yet, and a lowering of rates, though it's not there yet. So they may stay inflated for a while and then start coming down, and I think the market is sort of anticipating that. So I think 2025 will still be a good year, but I'm hoping, honestly, that we do get a little bit more of a pullback or a shakeout, you know, into March. You know, we're getting close. You know, we're already in mid-February. We've already seen a couple little shakeouts along the way. Of course, we saw the big shakeout around the Groundhog Day time, which I sort of joked about, but in all seriousness, we're serious about, too, that we do have some cycles that say be careful. And sure enough, we had that shakeout then, and then some news came out of China, you know, about AI, new version of AI. There's another bulletin yesterday about some coming out of Europe. So some of the big names like NVIDIA and so forth may not fare as well. I know Trump just came out with some comment, I think it was yesterday, about how we should support U.S. semiconductor business and try to take business away from Taiwan, even though Taiwan Semiconductor is building a big plant here in the U.S., so that sort of supported, for example, a name like Intel, which was just a big name in semiconductors for many years, but lost favor, particularly with NVIDIA coming along. But, you know, some of that business may come this way. And, you know, there's opportunities here as investor interest changes. So, you know, it's so much going on. I mean, it's such a busy couple weeks here since the inauguration and so many things happening. For example, the embargo on steel and aluminum. I know that's not most popular comment among Canadians, particularly since they slapped that tariff there, but it certainly is helping some of the U.S. steel stocks, and they had a big bump to the upside, and U.S. steel was supposed to be acquired by Nippon Steel, but Trump intervened here and said essentially let Nippon make a big investment in U.S. steel versus acquiring it. But still, you know, very pro steel. So, just one sector that's been, you know, sort of tradable here and positive. So, you don't think about steel becoming suddenly hot, or a Dutch Brothers suddenly becoming hot, or even the last few days, a name like Coca-Cola exploded to the upside, which is a conservative name. So, you know, a lot of action in a lot of areas. It's very interesting markets. We always enjoy the volatility and the new opportunities that come up, and usually when least expected.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitt right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitt. Mark, what's going on in the crude oil market?
Well, you know, crude oil, it's a very interesting situation because, you know, my original feeling was that it would still have some significant upside in the years ahead, and that may change, but I've become a little bit more bearish on it, particularly since Trump is in the White House and they're opening the spigot, so to speak. And I think, you know, overall, I think you're going to see you know, before it goes a lot higher, though, we may, you know, if something blows up in the Mideast or something like that changes, and obviously I'm going to be wrong in my forecast, but I sort of feel that the trend in crude oil is going to be down for a while, particularly in the course of this coming year because of the influx of more oil and just to be opening the spigots again theory. So I think there's an opportunity on the short side in the oil market, honestly. Though individual companies may still do well because we find that some of the big names can still make money, even crude oil at lower prices. So a little more of a bear there. I mean, I like to see a little bump. It's already had a little bit of a correction, crude oil basically dropping from the mid-80s to the mid-70s. But I don't know. I'm thinking you might see the mid-50s, and then maybe a 12-month comment or maybe even lower than that. So it's been interesting times that we'll see if the charts could confirm that. We're a little oversold here, having had pulled back, and I like to see a little bit more of a bounce back up again, but the trend seems to have changed here, and again, it could be because of political reasons and the fact that it's been shut down so long by the Biden administration, and things have changed. A lot, of course, depends on what Saudi Arabia does and so forth, but if you ask my opinion, I would. I've been actually trading the short side in crude, and let's see when that trade changes. Right now, that's sort of my game plan for the year.
Cryptocurrencies, what's happening there?
I'm glad you brought it up because that's really, when you said about a teaser and a little discussion about what's hot for the year and what we should be focusing on. And honestly, you know, it's a very volatile market. And honestly, I like to see more of a pullback, particularly in Bitcoin, even though it doesn't seem to accommodate my thinking here. It's hanging in there in the 90,000 area. I like to see it back into the 70s or 80s. I don't know if I'll get it or not, but there's so many of the lower priced cryptos out there. And I think, you know, Trump is so pro crypto, and he's got some top people, you know, particularly one of the founders of XRP, the companies that are involved in that area, Ripple. He's in fact, I think, the chairman of Ripple, which is the parent of the XRP crypto. I think there's some picture of him and Trump at the White House. So there's such a big push for that. And the kind of percentage gains, of course, there's always losses too, I suppose. I mean, no market goes straight up, but the potential gains are so strong there in terms of what we could see in terms of appreciation. I mean, even some conservative analysts are looking for Bitcoin at 140 or 150,000, and some are saying 250,000. And you're hearing some pretty big numbers on part of the some analysts for some of the other names. So the kind of gains that are potentially positive out here are, you know, they sort of pale the returns you would get in the stock market. I mean, if you had a 20% move this year in the market, which was pretty much mirror last year, that's nothing compared to what you would make in one of these, you know, various cryptos, assuming they take off. Now they're going to be real volatile, and maybe the big return will come after a little slam dunk to the downside, and that'll be your big buy point, which I'm hoping for some of them. But you got to have your foot in the door, because I think the White House is behind it. There's a lot of positive momentum there. The big institutions are now behind it. We knew that when BlackRock and Larry Fink got involved, you know, with that ETF that came out last March, and it's just too much money behind it. So, you know, you got to really look at the crypto market. You know, you got to be diversified. Obviously, you can't put everything in it, but I would strongly urge, you know, listeners to take a small percentage of their tradable funds and, you know, and look for opportunities in that area, because you might see some real dramatic gains. And with the view that, you know, don't put it all at work right away, you know, hopefully there'll be an opportunity. Maybe they'll sell off a bit here in the next month or two or three, and there'll be even be a better buy point. But I think that's really the exciting market, you know, for the months ahead or the year or two ahead. I mean, and not just say it's only for 2025. I think this is a huge area. And I keep looking at a little crypto, Doge. Of course, Doge is the code word now for what Elon Musk is doing in Washington, D.C. But he also has that coin, the Doge coin. And I think it's around trading around 25 cents or something like that. You know, that's something to look at. I mean, he's involved with that, and who knows where that could go in the months or a year or two ahead. So that's, to me, a reasonable speculation. You know, you don't put a lot of money into it, but how many opportunities do you have to buy a stock or an investment at 25 cents or a dollar or $2, like some of these various cryptos are trading at? So it's, you know, the percentage potential there is great, but you don't, you obviously don't want to put too much in it either, just in case, you know, even someone like myself who's been right on it could be wrong short term. And, you know, look what Bitcoin did here in the last 10 or 15 years in terms of volatility. There were so many times where people thought it was going to go to zero, and it just fooled everybody. So, you know, I'm sort of drooling here a little bit. I have, you know, personally some positions in this stuff, but I'm hoping there's a shakeout at some point that gives us even a better buying opportunity. So I would take a serious look at it. Any shakeout is a great entry point if you see it during the next several months.
Do you think President Trump will legalize cannabis across the country?
It doesn't appear to be the case. You know, I have mixed feelings about it because I know cannabis is good, is a positive thing for the people that use it and need it, particularly in the older generation. I know here in Phoenix and Sun City and so forth, the CBD and the marijuana are very popular, and it helps people with pain. And there's a lot of anecdotal evidence regarding cancer and so forth, and there's thousands of years of history behind it. But you've got Trump just nominated somebody to the DEA, which is a drug enforcement agency, who doesn't seem to be very pro-cannabis or pro-rescheduling it. You know, from the, this has been going on for what, a year and a half now or more, talking about rescheduling cannabis from a Schedule 1 down to a 3, so it would become a legal substance. And even though it's totally legal in Canada and various states here say it's legal, but many that that aren't, and the federal laws work against people that are, you know, in states that, you know, that are not covered by state laws and so forth. And then you got the Banking Act issue regarding the legality of conducting business. And if it's treated as an illegal substance, then on your tax return here in the U.S. with the Internal Revenue Service, you can't deduct expenses. So it's a real mess. So, it, you know, it appears that the powers that be here, at least in Washington at the moment, may not be so pro-cannabis turning around. Now, there was a positive blip few days back, I think we talked about this last week, I think when Robert Kennedy, by the way, just got nominated and approved, I think it was in the news today at the U.S. Senate, he made some comment that he was sort of pro-cannabis, and there was a little pop there for a day or two. So maybe the light at the end of the tunnel is RFK, you know, supporting cannabis, and maybe that turns things around for the industry a little bit, and maybe the DEA would change its mind about rescheduling, and maybe the Banking Act will get approved. So that could be the light at the end of the tunnel here, but at the moment it seems to be sort of negative except for the RFK statement. So the stocks are really cheap, and many of the U.S.-based cannabis companies make money. So keep an eye on it. You know, there's always, seems like when there's, when it's dark and you're in the middle of a storm, things tend to turn around. So it's still a viable business for people in it. There's still people that believe in it and use it. And it's run through a negative cycle here now for a couple years. But we own a few of them because they're really cheap. You know, a stock that's down from, you know, 30 to 4, for example. I don't want to mention names because it's in our list. But, you know, it looks like a reasonable speculation to me. So that's where we're at. We do have a VR cannabis letter, one of the many letters that we produce, and we also mentioned it in our main letter, our platinum letter as well.
What's the story with uranium right now?
Sort of had a real run, and it's been, you know, pulling back here. The uranium, actually the physical uranium, has been a correction here now for a few months. Had a big run up, and it's and I post a chart every night in the newsletter. It seems to be trying to make a little bit of a bottom here. I think the realization came that, you know, it takes time to get all this nuclear underway. You know, the big push, there's some hot stocks like Constellation Energy and so forth. I think Microsoft's involved with them, and they're trying to, you know, because of AI, they're trying to get all the nuclear energy underway. But it takes a couple, 3 years to launch these projects. And I think Three Mile Island, you know, the nuclear plant that had so much bad press a few years ago, many years ago. It was trying to bring it back to life, but these things don't happen overnight. So it sort of cooled off a little bit because of the realization that it's not happening so fast, and some renewed interest in natural gas, perhaps as an energy source in the meantime. And I've been sort of partial to natural gas because it's so depressed, but also the industry is saying, well, maybe we can use that for a while until these nuclear facilities get underway. So there may be more of a play in natural gas short term as a substitute until the nuclear really kicks in. There's some alternate smaller generational nuclear, you know, equipment and facilities being proposed as well. So I think that, you know, bottom line, it's a trend, it's up, it's a positive, but, you know, they all run in cycles and they got overdone to the upside and start to pull back a bit. But I would use any, you know, weakness if you're longer term to certainly take a look at it. And a good stock to track is, you know, Cameco, which is a Canadian name, CC, ticker symbol CCJ here in the U.S. It's sort of a benchmark of what's happening. And if you look at the chart, it sort of peaked out and it's sort of zigzagging lower here a little bit. But I just think it's a correction. But, you know, if it's going to take a year or two for this stuff to really get into full use and many of these operations to get underway, it may take that much time to really see these stocks take off again in a big way. So good long-term hold, but it's sort of trading sideways here.
On the geocosmic front, anything we have to keep our eye on?
Well, we just had a lunar cycle on Tuesday. We had a full moon up there, so that was a little change of direction for a day or two in the markets. You've got the vernal equinox coming up March 21st, 22nd, and sometimes you get market lows around that time frame within a couple of weeks. And there's a little solar action up there on the report at spaceweather.com today. Some minor solar flares headed our way, but they don't seem to think that's going to have any great significance. So I would just say the overall picture says we're just in this first quarter U.S. time frame where we tend to get some volatility, choppiness. We've already seen a little around the Groundhog Day thing and maybe some more into March. And I think that's pretty much what the cycles would be suggesting. But it's not a reason to go out and sell the market. It's just something that you should be aware of if you're trading the market. And certainly if there is a little bit more of a pullback, I would, based on what our models are saying, I would be a buyer.
Mark, can you tell us again where people can get your special annual forecast?
Sure, thank you. It's at vrtrader.com, which is the shortcut for the VR newsletters, and it's right up there on the homepage. The title of the report is the VR Forecaster, so you click on that, and then if you go to the order page, if you enter the promo code 2022 half off, you get 50% off the model. It's a once annual report that's good for the whole year, and you can see what the models projects for the various markets we track. As I mentioned, it's about 8 or 9 different markets, and you can also see the track record from previous years because it's all posted there, how these forecasts have worked out going back in some instances 8 or 9 years. So you could see the confidence level in some of the charts just based on what we previously, like, really, I'm really proud of the Bitcoin, for example, and the Dow Industrials forecast, which have worked out pretty well. Again, nobody has a crystal ball, and it wasn't my intent, you know, almost 40 years ago that when I started doing this, that I would be creating a model for the year, just that I had so many requests, what do you think the market's going to do in the year? And I tend to be more trading oriented, but, you know, I put a lot of pieces together, you know, a lot of cycle stuff and things that we talk about here on the broadcast. And over the years, there is a pretty decent correlation with some of these cycles and the way the market moves at various times. There's a 10-year cycles in the market, cycles based on what year we're in the decade and so forth. You do some historical studies, you can see the tendency of how markets react at certain times in certain, you know, periods. So we put all that together in the models and seem to work out pretty well here. So we just continue to do it. It's fun. But it's like the, I like to make the comparison to the weatherman. You know, you make a big picture forecast and, you know, you want to look out the window before you actually pull the trigger on a trade, you know? So you got your modeling, you know, the weather says, the front's coming in, but, you know, even the weatherman can be wrong. So you try to tie this in with your short-term strategy and your other investment objectives as well. So I think it's a great tool, and just keep it in perspective with what else is happening in the world. But it gives you a little benchmark to look at, and this is why I continue to produce it, because I found just when I'm looking away from it, it tends to work out. And you'll say, why didn't I just stick with the trend, which the model said was the greater possibility? So for many investors, that works out a lot better anyway. But again, VRTrader.com, it's called the VR Forecaster.
And just a little final note here, are you a financial advisor?
No, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Used to do that years ago, but just do our newsletter and our financial research.
So this is opinion, not advice.
Correct. This is, this is freedom of the press. This is your, analysis based on what you see, but we're just, putting out the research and putting out the ideas, and it's up to, we're not pulling the trigger for anybody or investing their money and telling them exactly what to do. We're giving them guidelines about what our research says the markets and some stocks should do or not do, and that's a different business.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.